Hey folks, thank you for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. In addition to the new Cafe Insider podcast, we're sharing bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. So if you're the mayor right now, during the unfolding of this crisis, would you be speaking to the people of your city every day before or after the president or the vice president speak? Would you be contradicting the president if you thought it was important to do? How do you balance that?
I wouldn't go out of my way to contradict, but I'd be clear. So here's what in Chicago, we have this governor picked her up when I left, a 3-star adjunct general, Alicia Tate. She was sent by the U.S. Army years ago to go study how Israel dealt with emergency management. When the Flint, Michigan situation happened, the Army and the federal government tapped her to coordinate all federal response. She's now head of Illinois' emergency management. I said I want to be careful because I don't want to expose any conversation. I was talking to our governor this weekend, but I would have, as I have dealt in other crises, the head of Office of Emergency Management, our Dr. Morita, who is head of our public health, who now is at the Woodson Johnson Institute dealing with their public health, every morning deal with, okay, here's where we are, here's what we know, here, and I would have all the other city services, meaning public health, public safety, EMT, the fire department, any other department of aging, all of them, they were present. So they had new at 9 a.m. or 9:30. Here's what we know. Here's what we're doing. Here's what today's mission is. And then a press conference later in the day. So there was a constant informing of the public, calling forth from citizens their own responsibility to fellow citizens and to themselves and to executing the protocols of the public health. And what are the services that we're going to deal with? I think that, you know, Illinois, Cook County, the city of Chicago, DuPage County, making sure those people every morning are communicating in public, whether you have the governor, mayor, and the county executives there. The more important people are the public health people and the office of what we would call emergency management.
Is there a way in which you would be either alone or with other mayors getting together to call upon the administration, the federal government, to do things?
Well, I do think, like, as they're talking about the economic stimulus, since cities are ones that are being affected by trade show cancellations, you know, lack of transportation, meaning people aren't traveling by air. They're not going to hotels. They're not going to restaurants. That's all also because it's a product of, you know, we're telling people appropriately, keep your distance and kind of almost a self-quarantine type thing. But other mayors, I would be actively working with other mayors on an economic package to help stabilize the economies of our cities. So both from the public health side and the protocols associated with public health policies, and also the aftermath of the downside of what the impact that's going to have to a local economy.
So with respect to stimulus or quote-unquote bailout, how high a priority would you put on money to the cruise industry?
Well, I think you have to think about this in shades. There is certain things, like, look, post 9/11, there was a package put together to help the airlines. Because as you remember, air travel collapsed. That's a model you can use. But beyond subsidizing dealing with getting through this rough patch, I also think it's the opportunity to do a major transportation infrastructure bill that would have a clear stimulant to the economy. And while we're going to get one day through this healthcare crisis, every new investment in public transportation, roads, bridges, airports, will have a long-term, not only a short-term, but long-term economic benefit. So there's some part of this which is to deal with an insurance policy to get through the downturn. And another part of it should be about making sure that we jumpstart the overall well-being of the economy.
I'm going to give you some descriptions that other people have made about you and get your reaction. Representative Ed Markey. Ed Markey of Massachusetts has said, referring to you, he's not a political romantic. Is that fair?
He's not a political romantic?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, doesn't bother you.
I'm kind of interested what the second sentence of that was, not the first. Okay, I'll go with that.
I don't have that in my memo. You invoked LBJ a few minutes ago. Paul Begala, former Clinton advisor, said about you, he's like Lyndon Johnson, who finished almost every campaign in a hospital bed. As someone from Texas, I don't make that comparison lightly, but Rahm just may be our skinny, nine-fingered Jewish Chicago version of LBJ. How you like them apples?
I'll take that.
You'll take that. Okay.
You know, I was just, my wife and I were down in Austin for a wedding. And I said, let's catch the earlier flight and I will set up a time so we can have a private tour of the Lyndon Johnson Library, which I loved, as she did. And you walk in and against the back wall about 60 feet is a giant photo, full wall, of him signing the Civil Rights Act. And along the wall, what do you think there is? About 100 and some odd pens, all standing vertical. All the way to the photo.
And that's every a neat one sound of those pens, you did. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, I was trying to give you, I'm trying to bring radio alive. It's my Orson Welles moment. How am I doing?
Not bad.
And those pens are, every one of them was a pen from a piece of legislation he signed. And it's like, drop the microphone. Welcome to the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library.
Yeah, he got stuff just, done.
Oh, yes. And on the other, was he a great president? Yes. But what was also tragic about him was he knew that the war was wrong, politically, militarily, etc. And he was trapped in his own insecurities. He was trapped in the own envelope of America at a Cold War. And he could not, and you listen to those phone calls where you're eavesdropping and they have great tapes. His conversation with Senator Russell, chairman of the Armed Forces Committee in the Senate, he knew what he was doing was going to doom what he thought was things that he was the most proud about, the war on poverty. And yet he could not, for a whole host of personal, ideological, conventional wisdom politics, could not get outside of continuing to ramp up America's involvement in Vietnam. And also, I would say this, when Franklin Roosevelt meets him on one of his train rides out west, and he's a freshman congressman, he then said, Roosevelt said, I think I just met a future president. Now, I want to be clear because everybody will jump on this. I'm not interested in the presidency. I'm not saying that, but I'm honored to be compared
don't
to
get
Lyndon
ahead
Johnson.
Of, don't get ahead of the interview, all right? There's a story that I remember on this point. It was a profile I was reading years ago of David Mamet, the playwright. And David Mamet in the interview, I think, is being interviewed in his kitchen of his home. And as he's being interviewed, his young daughter came into the kitchen and was trying to get some ice cream. And she overheard her father cursing, I think, in the interview. And she made some comment like, Daddy, why do you have to use all those curse words? You know, don't use all those curse words. And her father immediately, David Mamet, turns back at her and says, those curse words are what paid for the ice cream. I've always thought that. So I'm glad you have better health.
Yeah, well, my kids said when they were growing up, the three of them, that we should have there's a can that you would give tzedakah for charity in the Jewish home. And that we should have a tzedakah can, a quarter for every swear word. And they said, why don't we just have Dad write a $50, put $50 in as a down payment of what we know will be thousands upon thousands of dollars.
I thought I read somewhere that Nancy Pelosi suggested we could solve the deficit by instituting a fine of you every time you dropped a curse word.
Could be. Never got imposed. She must have been scared. No.
One of the things you do now is you appear on ABC as a political commentator. So my question is, how often does Chris Christie get on your nerves?
He doesn't.
He doesn't.
No, because he's wrong, so it doesn't get on my nerves.
Was impeachment worth it?
You think that's a yes, no?
Yeah.
I think it's both a yes and a no. I do believe that this was an impeachable offense. And if you didn't impeach on this, then nothing was in violation of both the law and the Constitution. On the other hand, if you thought about it purely political, somewhat interested in is notice that the farther away we've gotten from the impeachment hearings, turnout has increased in the Democratic primary. I think it had a damper. I said this on ABC. This is a funny moment. I said it on ABC, and then Christie was starting to say something. I said, whatever you do, Chris, don't agree with me. It will not help me, okay?
I'll help you.
So I think it's a yes and a no. On the other hand, for history and for the Constitution and for the character of our country, it had to be done.
Would you rather be loved or feared?
You can be both.
You can be both.
I think there's times that you want to be feared, and there's times you want to be admired.
Loved is not so important to you.
No, I think admired is a more important quality, and that's, I think, pretty clear in Machiavelli's Prince.
Favorite curse word?
I'm not doing it.
We can bleep it, no? What does it start with? What's the first letter?
Go yourself.
Okay. Which actor would play you in the movie?
Which actor? I don't know. My daughter loves Matt Damon, so it may give me some stroke at home.
Final question. Who is the most successful Emmanuel brother?
Oh, it's not close. Me.
So you're going to say, oh. Are you going to say, I thought you were going to say Ari.
Look, no, Ari, that's success by money. My mother is a political activist. My dad was a pediatrician, God rest his soul, and was also in his own little way a political activist. So as I used to say, which brother has brought more naches to their parents? And it's clearly me.
Fair enough.
I used to say to my mother, you love Ezekiel more than you love me. She goes, no, I hate you all equally.
Are you going
to
give a definition for naches?
It's not nachos. Naches is
I didn't
joy.
Say nachos.
It's joy to a parent. And Amy and I are fortunate enough that all three kids have given us great, great, great naches.
That's a very nice way to end. Thanks again for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast on Tuesdays with me and Ann Milgram, and stay tuned every Thursday.